WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Police in the UK have just confirmed the attacker who plowed into a crowd outside a synagogue in Manchester this Yom Kippur, killing two people and critically injuring three others, is dead. This delivery driver saw it happening.
A couple of warnings, he didn't listen, so they opened fire. He went down on the floor, and then he started getting back up, and then they shot him again.
Investigators had been checking to see if the suspect was carrying an explosive.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Prime Minister Keir Starmer has ordered extra police to patrol synagogues across the UK after today's attack. He left an EU summit early to fly back to the UK, where he'll chair a meeting of his emergency committee.
This couple lives near the synagogue.
I'm just very worried, generally. I'm just very worried about the whole community at the moment. You know,
feel very, very vulnerable.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection are sharing cybersecurity tips with residents in honor of Cybersecurity Awareness Month. State officials are recommending some actions residents can take to protect their personal data and avoid scams. Residents should use strong passwords and create different passwords for different accounts, use multi-factor authentication for additional security, update their software often to ensure they have the latest security patches, and identify and report any phishing scams they receive. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced another court order protecting federal funding. The court order protects federal funding for state energy programs following a multi-state lawsuit filed in August. The coalition was challenging the U.S. Department of Energy placing a 10% cap on reimbursements for indirect and fringe costs on energy projects. If the cap had remained, Attorney General Call says reimbursements would have dropped from around $370,000 to just $130,000 in Wisconsin. Eau Claire City County Health Department officials have announced the first human case of West Nile virus in the county this year. The Northwest Wisconsin region has seen a handful of cases over recent weeks, including human cases in Dunn, St. Croix, Rusk, and Barron counties. Health officials are reminding residents to take steps to protect themselves from the disease, which is only spread through an infected mosquito. Residents should remember to use insect repellent, wear long sleeves and pants, and mosquito-proof their homes as much as possible. Weeks after the final veterans moved out, Klein Hall in Chippewa Falls has officially closed. The facility served as a veterans housing center through the state's Veteran Housing and Recovery Program, but $1.9 million in funding for the program was removed from the new state budget by the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee over the summer. Republican and Democratic state lawmakers each proposed legislation to continue funding Klein Hall and its Green Bay counterpart, but neither has received a public hearing in the state legislature. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
New faces on the Bucks roster. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA head coach Doc Rivers revealed that when he first arrived in Milwaukee, he told GM John Horst straight up the Bucks roster was too old and too slow.
John knew. We talked about it. I felt strongly that it's hard to win at the pace that we were trying to play at. We still won games and we were good, but, you know, I just felt strongly that we need more speed. We need more guys that can guard multiple positions.
The Bucks training camp now underway. College football. Wisconsin faces number 20th-ranked Michigan. Kickoff 11 a.m. Saturday. Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill has already been sacked 13 times so far in just the first four games of this season. That's one more than the 12 sacks they allowed all last year.
Maybe changing up what we do pre-snap a little bit, trying to simplify some things. We know what we're going to see. We just got to be able to go translate it from the film room to the field and from practice to the game.
That's Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill with sports on Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
This sunny, hot, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days. We are going to start to feel a little more like fall next week. But today, sunshine, we're talking highs back in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. That's exactly what gerrymandering is. But in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes. And they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable word.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Vince Moranto, who will make the popcorn pick of the week and tell us about an upcoming Wisconsin date. And my pal Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Many, many, many things coming up for you today. Our friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, will be joining us after the 9:30 news. There's a lot to talk about with Mr. Santel.
Yes.
The Trump administration has all kinds of lawsuits working its way through various courts. And there is a judge who checked in this week about the Trump administration deporting college students.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty blistering.
Gotcha.
Pretty blistering. So Jim Santel is going to join us after the 9:30 news to talk about that, among many, many, many other things. In hour number two, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things sports. Of course, one we will find out later today who the Brewers are going to face.
I can't even right now. I can't.
It's just too upsetting.
I don't want to play the Cubs because I don't want them here. And I don't want to play the Padres because Manny Machado is awful. That's what I'll just say for that moment right now.
Okay. Well, we will still find out later on today who the Brewers are going to face this coming Saturday. So stick around for that. J.R. Radcliffe with all kinds of updates coming up in hour number two. And we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Lost Boys edition. It's a good one. I love this one. So stick around for that. Of course, it is underway, our multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest. So here is what we need you to do. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app. 5, 4, 3, 2. Okay, now it's open. Text in the word purple.
Oh.
P-U-R. P-L-E. Text in the word purple. Purple is the word you have to text in until 10 o'clock this morning. That gets you in the running for our daily prize. Everybody could use a little extra cash right now. $200 in cash, gold jewelry. That's our daily prize for today and tomorrow. These are the last 2 days of the contest.
That's right.
And then our grand prize. Everyone is in the running for the grand prize. 2 club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay in Minnesota November 23rd at noon with a gas card to get you there and back. It's worth $1,550. So text in the word purple, P-U-R-P-L-E. Text in the word purple. Ooh, I love to see those entries. Sean from Madison and Jill and Madison and Phil and Mount Pleasant and Mary and Kenosha. Keep those coming in. Purple is the word, P-U-R-P-L-E. Again, you have until 10 o'clock and good luck. Wanted to start off with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. That's coming up too.
And that's a spring one.
Yes.
That will be. And that's
going to be the first of the first, right?
It's like 6 months away now.
It's going to be here before you know
it's
it.
It's a primer, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar
Pointer
has announced she is running for a spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Since her election, this is from the Wisconsin Examiner, since her election to the District 2 Court of Appeals in 2022, she has been a reliable vote for right-wing causes controlled by a 3-to-1 conservative majority.
And so far, now Rebecca Bradley's going, whew.
There's another me to take my place.
Yeah, because Rebecca Bradley, who is currently sitting on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, made the announcement a few weeks ago that she will not be seeking re-election, even though it seemed that when Susan Crawford was elected, it seemed like she was moving towards there. But based on the fact that she had raised no money.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
Experts had said, well, she's probably not. And then she decided, which is honestly, I mean, I don't think Maria Lazar, is any real difference from Rebecca Bradley. But her election night comments were so, in my opinion, unprofessional.
Absolutely.
And, like, to say political is an understatement. It was basically listening to a Donald Trump
acolyte.
Actually, I wouldn't even go further than that. But, yeah, it was shocking to me the way she was speaking. She wasn't even trying to hide her disdain for the left, period, and her colleagues. So her not being a part of this is, I think, is a better thing for the court, but I don't know how with what Judge Lazar brings to the table with regard to her decisions and her relationships. I don't know she's going to be much of a difference.
Well, we can look at who supports her.
Yeah. Oh, let's look at that.
Her endorsements.
Yes.
Include former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman.
Oh, you mean
you remember Mike Gableman?
Soon to possibly not be lawyer anymore?
Michael Gableman recently agreed to have his law license suspended for 3 years over that debacle that, was it $2.1 million worth of taxpayer money that we paid Michael Gableman to find all the fraud in the 2020 election, none of which came to pass, by the way. They didn't find any.
And Robin Voss had to say that the 2020 election was safe and secure,
yeah,
which I'm sure
had to have been really painful.
He hated doing.
I'm sure.
Still washing his mouth out with lava soap.
So Ms. Lazar has the endorsement of Michael Gableman. Jim Troupas, he's also facing criminal charges for his role in the plots to cast those fake elector votes on behalf of Donald Trump. And another supporter, Bob Spindell.
Well,
also, a Republican member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission who cast one of those fraudulent ballots and has regularly used his job to spread conspiracy theories about elections.
Because that's what you do.
Well, if you want the party endorsement, you got to go along with the party line. Good heavens, Trump brought this up when he talked to all of our military leaders the other day, that he won the 2020 election. He is still ranting about that, you guys. Still.
Well, yeah, because when you're up there for that long, you don't have much to talk about. And also, I wanted to make sure, I knew this was a fact, but I want to be looking at it, and this is coming from Wiz Politics as part of the press release. She was an assistant DA for then Waukesha DA Brad Schimmel. So she has, I mean, just short of going out with Daniel Kelly in high school, she has all sorts of ties to the Republican Party in the past. She also defended Act 10, the anti-union legislation that, along with 32, gutted our teachers' union and no longer allows them to collectively bargain. So she defended that one as well. And
she also has a lot of support from Pro-Life Wisconsin.
Yes.
Which is dedicated to banning all abortions in the state. And I believe Pro-Life Wisconsin also wants to get rid of all forms of birth control.
Oh, of course, yeah. And
except for the rhythm method, because that's so reliable. Just ask my cousin with 5 kids.
Oh, my
anyway.
God. She also has been known to give talks to, and I can't believe it, because it's the 1900s, the Federalist Society. So, yeah, yeah.
That's still a very powerful organization.
Yes, it is. But
we can make jokes about it, but that's a.
I'm not making jokes about it. I'm just saying when I hear the Federalist Society, I also expect an old guy just tell me to get off his lawn. Like, you don't hear them talked about a lot. So, yeah, it's she will be expected replacement of probably Rebecca Bradley's intentions and opinions.
You can swap them out, you know. Here is what Maria Lazar said, quote, "We need to draw a line in the sand and stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court. We are bombarded by political ads for a judicial position." That is true. "My candidacy will be different," unquote. Oh, really?
Sure.
How will it be different? She says, "I'm not a member of a political party." "My opponent spent years in the legislature." Okay.
All right.
On the other side, Taylor's campaign manager, just like Rebecca Bradley, Maria Lazar has spent her career rolling back people's rights, attacking reproductive health care and voting rights, and doing the bidding of powerful special interests, speaking of the Federalist Society, and her billionaire friends. If elected, she will become the most extreme member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I just find it interesting that they need someone ideologically super far right because Hagedorn has turned out to be such an enormous disappointment to them.
I mean, Hagedorn is just doing what,
same to kind of like follow law.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Logic, law, application of past decisions to new decisions.
Precedent.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas said that precedent doesn't really matter anymore.
What a shocker there. Ooh, I'm stunned.
Yeah, it's almost like they can just do
precedent,
whatever they want.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that. That's something we'll be talking about with Jim Santel, I'm sure.
It's so exhausting.
If you are just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, we were talking about the news that conservative Judge Maria Lazar is running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. So far, she is the only conservative to announce for the 2026 race. She used her messaging when she came out with her ad announcing her candidacy to attack District 4 Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, who is running with the backing of Democrats.
Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, and I'll keep saying this. I'm not a fan of this kind of election.
As all the money coming in?
Well, the money coming in, the fact that a judge has to take sides to get votes, that a judge has to make the most political statements without being political because these are supposed to be non-political appointments.
Right.
I would love to say, well, just let the governor appoint them. But unfortunately, we live in a day and age where that's not a good idea anymore either. So, I mean, who knows? Chris Taylor could win next year. And if the Republicans still control, well, they will at that point, they will still control the legislature. Maybe they'll just find a way to not even
seat the judge.
I mean, right now we're still waiting for a congresswoman to get sworn in the U.S. Congress, but they're not doing it, Jane, because they're just so busy.
No, they're not going to swear in that Democrat in the House.
Yeah.
Because she could cast the deciding vote to release the Epstein files. And if we've learned nothing, we have learned that the Republicans really, 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 really don't want that to get released.
It's really weird because it was only like a year ago that they were saying, why aren't they releasing the Epstein files right now?
We want the files.
We want the files right now. Give me the files. And now Cash Patel is saying, what do we really know about this? I mean, let's take it down a notch. Let's get some brunch.
It's fine.
Let's talk about stuff.
Other stuff.
Epstein files. I don't know who's Epstein. I've never heard of this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of them. And it's so frustrating. Is there a wall, Jane, in this room I can just hit my face against for a while?
Do you want something soft? Well, we have the sound panels up on this wall. You could try it. That would be less damaging. Otherwise, there's the hardwood door right behind you.
Well, let's just start for the soft panel and go from
start
there.
And also, work your way up.
And also, I know I'm sounding very dour, and so I'll just say this again. Myvote.wi.gov. Find out your representatives. Let them know what you're feeling.
Make sure you're registered to vote.
Make sure you are, because the primary for the spring election will be sooner than the spring election. So you want to find out if you are still registered. Do that. Myvote.wi.gov today.
Remember when the president said, I don't know anything about Project 2025, except I know there are parts in it I don't like. Guess who he's meeting with today? The author of said Project 2025, which he's never heard of. All the details coming up. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will be right back. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way.
Good morning, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, you can join us. Call, text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our multi-state text to win contest is in its second to last day.
Penultimate.
Ooh, good word.
Penultimate.
Fancy.
Jim Santel's in the waiting room right now.
Are you trying to impress
him? He heard me say penultimate, and I think I just got into law school.
I'm sure that's just an automatic entry. Our second to last day for the go for the green and gold multi-state text to win contest. So you have until 10 o'clock to get out your phone, open up the Civic Media app, text in the word purple. P-U-R-P-L-E, spelling counts. Purple, mm-hmm. P-U-R-P-L-E, text in the word purple. You're in the running for that $200 in cash and gold jewelry. And then up for the grand prize as well. Great, great, great prize. Two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay, Minnesota, November 23rd at noon with a gas card to get you there and back. Purple is the word, P-U-R-P-L-E. Enter the word purple. By 10 o'clock, Tom Hartman will have a new word for you from 11 to 1. Mm-hmm. 11 and 1.
Yeah.
Then Todd Alba, 3 o'clock hour. Maggie Dawn, 5 p.m. hour. Peach Wabba wraps it up at Nightlight, 7 o'clock hour. So, whole bunch of chances. Second last day. Get in there. Purple.
Like rain. Or
yes.
People leader.
Oh, that. Yes, that too. Mm-hmm. Jim Santel is going to be joining us in just a little bit. Our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings across the network. But we did want to share with you that President Trump, meeting with Project 2025 architect Russell Vogt.
Jane, I just want to say something really quick. I know you've been talking a lot about Project 2025 on the show.
For months.
Months, actually, probably about a more than a year now.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this book. I don't know anything about it. My friends have never heard of this stuff. I don't know why you insist on making such a big deal out of something that doesn't seem to be important. Why do we even pay attention to this? Was it Project 2025?
It is called Project 2025.
I feel like you're wasting our time right now.
Well, see, if you actually looked at Project 2025,
I don't read, Jane.
Well, that's okay. Take my word for it. They are already implementing many things from Project 2025.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Many things have already been done.
Yeah.
And we keep heading that way. Just as a reminder, Donald Trump claimed back when we first started talking about Project 2025,
he
had never heard of it, didn't know anything about it, except he knew that he didn't like parts of it. So how he didn't know anything about it and yet knew there were parts he didn't like, I have questions about that. But here is what he put on social media. President of the United States, I have a meeting today with Russ Vogt, he of Project 2025 fame, the guy you never heard of, to determine which of the many Democrat agencies are these only Democratic, like the EPA is a Democratic agency?
You know, started by Richard Nixon.
To determine which of the many Democratic agencies, most of which are a political scam, he recommends be cut. And whether or not those cuts will be temporary or permanent, I can't believe radical left Democrats gave me this unprecedented opportunity. They are not stupid people. So maybe this is their way of wanting to quietly and quickly make America great again.
Oh, my God.
So Project 2025, President Trump, is going to make America great again, is what you're saying.
Secretly.
The Project 2025 you knew nothing about, didn't have any connections with, except for the parts that you knew you didn't like, even though you never read it. But he's going to meet with them today.
And Jane, what happened was the Democrat Party took over all of these agencies long ago so they could infiltrate them. So then President Trump could come in on his first term, then get voted out by Joe Biden in 2020. That's right. He lost the election in 2020 and then get reelected in 2024, only to come back around, allow the government to get shut down. Therefore, he and Russell Vogt, lead author of Project 2025, a book I've never heard of, can go in and shut down these agencies, which the Democrat Party secretly infiltrated years ago, so they can all make it happen because we're all making America great again.
It's amazing to me. There are all kinds of people that work for the federal government.
Yes.
Many different stripes of people.
Correct. Yes.
I don't understand this assumption that everyone who works for the federal government is a Democrat. And what they are doing is going to harm everyone, no matter how you vote.
Yes.
No matter how you vote.
Yes.
These policies and these changes and these tariffs are bad for all of us little people, because it's us little people that it's going to harm.
Yeah.
The Russell Votes and the Tim Scotts and the even Chuck Schumer, they're all going to be just fine.
They're all millionaires.
Exactly.
They're all millionaires, if not more. Yeah. This is about taking advantage of the fact that we are a people. And when I say we are the people, I don't even mean people who didn't. I mean, everyone. We live in a society where news happens at such a rate that we can't keep up with everything. And sometimes you got to shrug your shoulder and say, I got work to do.
Yeah.
So I can't really pay attention to this.
And we get that.
And I understand that completely.
Yes.
And we knew that by when Charlie Kirk was tragically murdered, people were saying he seemed like a nice guy and had no idea what his real message was about, because not everyone can pay attention to it all the time. And we get that. But what's frustrating is that folks who voted for Donald Trump, who don't make $1 billion, are going to have their services cut, are going to lose tax money. It's going to be bad
for all of us little people.
Yep.
News is coming up next. When we return, our friend, colleague, host of Amicus, the Law Review, Jim Santel, will be here. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt Mayer on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill seeking to crack down on people falsely misrepresenting their pets as service animals was heard in a state assembly committee this week. The legislation would implement a $500 fine for providing false documentation to obtain a service animal. It could also fine healthcare providers who prescribe an emotional support animal to patients who have been in their care for less than 30 days. Critics of the legislation say enforcing the law would be especially challenging due to concerns over legal troubles with privacy. Wisconsin Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar has officially launched her campaign against Judge Chris Taylor in the 2026 state Supreme Court election. Judge Lazar is the first conservative candidate to enter the race after current Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley announced she would not be seeking re-election. In her campaign announcement on Wednesday, Judge Lazar said she's running to remove politics from the court system. If victorious, the liberal majority on the state's highest court would be held to just 4-3. Another candidate has entered the 7th Congressional District field following Congressman Tom Tiffany's decision to run for governor. Former Wisconsin State Legislator Fred Clark officially launched his campaign for the seat on Wednesday. In his announcement, Clark highlighted his experience as a rural legislator and conservation leader and plans to focus on rebuilding the rural economy, expanding healthcare access, and protecting farms and forests. Jesse Eben is still the only Republican candidate to announce a run for the seat thus far. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call visited Eau Claire on Tuesday to highlight the dangers of online threats like cyberbullying and sextortion. Attorney General Call says law enforcement authorities have received over 400 tips related to sextortion cases in 2025, a significant increase over last year. He encouraged parents to discuss the dangers of growing digital safety concerns with their children and teach them to become active participants in creating a safer online environment. He also encouraged them to seek out additional educational resources. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Celebrities like Emily Blunt, Ben Stiller, Mark Ruffalo, Tom Hanks, and Scarlett Johansson have all been vocal about their opposition to AI in the entertainment business. Yesterday in the beats, I mentioned Tilly Norwood, an AI actress who even has an Instagram account and whose creator says that she will probably be signed by a talent agency soon. As you can imagine, that did not sit well with actors. One in particular, Melissa Barrera, who has been part of the Scream franchise, recently said that any agency that signs an AI performer should be boycotted. Two prominent talent agencies, the William Morris Endeavor and the Gersh Agency, have vowed they will not sign the Tilly Norwood creation or other AI actors. According to Yahoo Entertainment, a representative from the William Morris Endeavor says they only represent humans. That's a very admirable stance. I just wish when they represented me, they would have returned my calls quicker. Seriously, though, it is a small victory. I hope the momentum continues. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
This sunny, hot, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days. We are going to start to feel a little more like fall next week. But today, sunshine, we're talking highs back in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue from on location in Shawnee, Wisconsin. We'll continue to follow the government shutdown. And when entertainment and politics cross over, who do you hold accountable? Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You still have about 25 minutes to get in the word purple via the Civic Media app. Text in the word P-U-R-P-L-E, purple, is the word for this hour, part of our multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. 2 days left, today and tomorrow. Up for grabs today, our daily prize, $200 in cash. We could also all use a little extra money. And gold jewelry, and then the grand prize, 2 club-level indoor seats. Nice. See Green Bay in Minnesota November 23rd at noon. A gas card to get you there and back worth $1,550. The purple is the word. You have to send in until 10 o'clock, P-U-R-P-L-E. And then your next chance in the 11 and 1 o'clock hours with Tom Hartman, 3 o'clock hour with Todd Alba, 5 o'clock with Maggie Dawn, and then Peach Wabba wraps it up during Night Light in the 7 o'clock hour. Multi-state, go for the green and gold. Text to win contest. Good luck. Purple is the word. He joins us every Thursday at this time to talk all things legal. Jim Santel, our friend, colleague, and host of Amicus, a law review you can catch it Saturday mornings. I highly encourage you to listen from 9 to 11 across the network. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Jane, Greg, good to be with you once again. And I, too, am befuddled by this Project 2025 emphasis, huh? Can't figure it out.
Never
can't
heard of it. Never heard of it. He knew he didn't like it, parts of it, but he had never heard of it before. And now today he seems to recognize that Russell Vogt, right, the head of the Office of Management and Budget, was the lead author of Project 2025. Some of us, I guess, are just slow learners, Jim.
Right, right. And apparently about 70% of Project 2025 has actually been implemented,
yeah,
by a president who purports to know nothing about it. So amazing how the world works, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I don't understand what you guys are talking about, man. I've only read three books: The Da Vinci Code, I read it again, and portions of the Bible when it fits my narrative. So I don't know. You guys can talk about whatever you want.
You'll just take our word for it, okay? Just take our word for it. A lot of things I wanted to talk to you about today, Jim. We call it the wheel of lawsuits, the wheel of litigation with the Trump administration, because there are so many different lawsuits going on. But a couple have really jumped out at me. This one from U.S. District Judge William Young, who found that the Trump administration wrongly ordered the deportation of pro-Palestinian students. Now, I believe this ties to one case in particular where a young woman had written an opinion piece in a college newsletter, never mentioned Hamas or the Palestinian people or anything like that, but they grabbed her. They grabbed her off the street and tried to deport her. She was not deported, but the judge wrote, "Alone, I have nothing but my sense of duty. Together, we, the people of the United States, have our magnificent Constitution." The judge went on to explain why he ruled against the administration, saying, quote, "This court finds as fact and concludes as a matter of law that Secretaries Noem and Rubio and their agents and subordinates acted in concert to misuse the sweeping powers of their offices to target non-citizen pro-Palestinians for deportation, primarily on account of their First Amendment-protected political speech. They did so," continues the judge, "to strike fear into similarly situated non-citizen pro-Palestinian individuals, curbing lawful speech and intentionally denying such people the freedom of speech."
There's a lot there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Judge Young, again, takes his place among this increasing number of judges that we've spoken about at great length on this wonderful broadcast, who are saying no, right? I think one of the great bastions, this is a good news in an otherwise very challenging Thursday morning, you have federal district court judges appointed for life. This one happens to be appointed not by a Democrat, but a Republican. His name is Ronald Reagan. He used to be the president of the United States of America.
I've heard of him.
And, yes, exactly. Hmm. Even though Greg purports not to have heard of Project 2025, I suspect he has heard of Ronald Reagan, who appointed this good judge. You may recall also that this is also the judge who ran afoul of two Supreme Court justices who chastised him for not following their clear directions when it came to some NIH grants. And he said, you know what, I never intended to disrespect you. I just didn't know that the shadow docket, when you issue a one-line statement about what should happen here, in another case unrelated to the NIH, I didn't know I had to follow that. And then, to add even more craziness to this already catastrophic series of events, you've got former Justice Breyer weighing in and saying, no, Judge Young is a good judge. How could he know? You don't know what you're doing, Supreme Court. So that's the backstory behind all this. But Judge Young, again, my other favorite piece of this is, Jane and Greg, 161 pages, okay? And you have highlighted some of the most telling language here. What's going on there? Why is he writing this? He is also, by virtue of the fact that he's spending 161 pages, also sending a message to the Supreme Court that criticized him, that seems not to be able to write more than one sentence. Here's one federal district court judge with two law clerks. Supreme Court justices have four, maybe five of them. He spends the time on this very important First Amendment case explaining his reasons, giving justification, telling the American public why it is he's doing what he's doing, creating an appellate record if indeed this goes up. All the things that what? Let's all say it together. The Supreme Court should be doing, but it's not. Yeah. And I have to believe that in and of itself, even the extensive nature of what he has written, the content first, most important, but also the fact that he spent the time coming to the conclusion that the government, once again, is in violation of the Constitution of the United States of America, implicitly saying that just because you're not a citizen doesn't mean it doesn't apply. You've got First Amendment rights, as did this petitioner, and you are wrong to deport her, to try to shut her up. Good for him. And then he also goes beyond just his ruling and says this, as you know well. He says, I fear President Trump believes the American people are so divided that today they will not stand up for, fight for, defend our most precious constitutional values so long as they are lulled into thinking their own personal interests are not affected.
Yes.
Finishes up by saying, is he correct? That is a stunning thing for a judge to say. That is a call for action, which again, federal district court judges are generally not inclined to do. This judge, like so many others, he is angry with what has happened to the judiciary. He's angry about what's happening with our courts. And he is angry, yes, in a nonviolent way, with the way our president is behaving. And he sent that message loudly and clearly.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Jim Santel is here, our colleague here at Civic Media, host of Amicus, a law review Saturday mornings 9 to 11 across the network. You really should check out the show. It's great. The other thing that jumped out at me on this, Jim, is he included a threatening postcard that he had received at the very top of this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which essentially said, yeah, Trump has tanks and guns. What do you got?
Yeah. And I suspect once again, his law clerks, I'm guessing Judge Young, like me, is probably not sufficiently technologically adept to figure out how to post that in the official way that these things have got to be posted. I know that I worked for a federal judge many years ago, but he did it because he wanted to make the point once again that, yes, number one, judges are getting threatened in America for what they're doing. And number two, is there an answer to that issue? Basically, this person who sends this scurrilous, horrific postcard saying, go ahead, enforce what you want to do, big boy. That's bullying at the highest level.
Yes, the
and
threat.
He says, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I do have something. And it's called integrity, and it's called the Constitution, and it is called a commitment to what America is all about. You plainly don't understand that at all. It is important that he, again, even above the case caption, that's where it shows up.
Yeah.
He's got this thing printed in sort of a typographical format. He's making a number of much related points here, all of which should be consumed. Even if you don't read every single one of those 161 pages, it's there and it's accessible.
Well,
and it's a lesson to America, right?
And the other thing that jumped out at me about this, Jim, was because, you know, the federal government the goon squad now that is going out across America calling themselves ICE, and they're allowed to mask themselves ostensibly because they are getting threatened and they're being doxxed. And, well, we have judges, we have election workers, we have all kinds of people across our country who have been threatened and doxxed. Should all of our judges be hiding their identities? If that logic applies to ICE, then shouldn't this apply to our federal, to all of our judges?
Right.
They're at risk.
Young, right. Absolutely. My many other judges, a whole lot more visible. Their homes are hopefully not in the public domain, although those could be inappropriately posted by people. But their federal courthouses are, with their chambers numbers on them. And we know that there have been federal judges whose families have not only been threatened, we have a judge whose son was killed at her own home.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so I think the point you make, Jane, cannot be overstated. Here are judges who are willing to say the president is wrong and basically calling upon the people of the United States of America not to rise up, but to push back and say there's something more important than your own ego, Mr. President, and doing it, signing it. Here I am, and being very visible who he is. We've got these other quasi-military and military people descending upon the cities of America, and we don't know their names. We don't know their faces. It is completely inconsistent. And frankly, even the Department of Justice, that I recall, there are some very limited opportunities, yes, options where you can, in fact, mask your face. These are not those.
This ain't it.
You want transparency, right?
Yeah, this isn't it. We don't know if the ICE guys, if they're all January 6th defendants.
Right.
They could be all Proud Boys. They could be all Oath Keepers. They could be all Three Percenters. We don't know anything about these people. That's not good. It's dangerous.
It is, and again, the American people should expect more. We know also that the solicitations, including some bonuses,
$50,000.
Out to everybody across the country. Come in, we'll give you some money, and we'll give you a gun, and we'll let you parade around the streets of Chicago and Los Angeles and D.C.
We'll give you a gun, and you can go practice on people. Because that's what Donald Trump said when he addressed our military earlier. Or that's what Hegseth said.
No, that's what the president said.
What we should be using our cities as training grounds.
Yeah.
That sounds really dangerous.
And
that's,
and sort of an offshoot of this, when I think of things like that, I just think of our government saying we don't have enough money to pay for X, Y, and Z. Our farmers are getting constantly screwed over for whatever. Because they can, because the government's been doing that to them for decades. But yes, we can pay individuals bonuses to illegally round up individuals who should not be arrested. Or as I'm now just seeing, just beating people up in the street. So,
And manufacturing felonies. I've seen a couple of things in the last couple of days where there have been some protesters. There was a 69-year-old man who apparently moved his arm and inadvertently touched an ICE agent. A 69-year-old man shoved him to the ground, jumped on him. Now he's being charged with a felony.
Right. And again, what you've got there is complicity, right? Not only on the streets of America, but charging decisions made. Some of those, thankfully, there are still some people inside the government with some cooler minds who look at these things and say can't do it. But that, again, as you often said, it's the investigation, it's the charge that is the punishment. If in the end it doesn't result in a conviction, that's not the point. And that's not the point that the president wants to make.
We're going to continue our conversation with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, the Law Review, Saturdays 9 to 11 across the network. Keep it right here. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just about eight-ish minutes left to text in the word purple. P-U-R-P-L-E. Purple is the word. For our multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest. You have to use the Civic Media app in order to partake. So text in the word via the app. Text in the word purple, P-U-R-P-L-E. You're in the running for our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And then the grand prize, those great indoor club level seats to see Green Bay and Minnesota, November 23rd, noon game.
Mm-hmm.
Gas card to get you there and back.
My goodness.
I know. We're going to take care of you. text in the word purple, P-U-R-P-L-E, and then you'll have your next chance with Tom Hartman in the 11 o'clock hour, so stick around for that. Jim Santel joins us every Thursday at this time. He is our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Listen, it is worth it. Absolutely. Yes. Jim, we wanted to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court begins its new term on Monday. Are they actually going to talk about things like like the public gets to hear, or are they just going to issue all shadow dockets and not have to explain anything?
And we will see, won't we, Jane? We'll see what exactly. They hardly went out of business, didn't they? I think we were talking back in June about the fact that, well, now they're going to go quiet. But in fact, they've been issuing all of these executive these affirmations, I should say, of executive orders throughout the, so it hardly seems as if there's anything new going on. But Monday is the first Monday in October, and that means that the new Supreme Court term, it's 2025-2026, it gets underway. They do have oral arguments. Believe it or not, the Supreme Court is still doing that. That quaint historical thing.
Oh,
that's just calling attorneys in.
That's right? Historical.
It's like when your favorite team wears their old jersey. They're doing it retro.
Retro court.
There it is.
Yeah.
Right. And indeed, they're starting Monday. And this is the way it should work, which is the Supreme Court says, okay, the lower court judgments are completed. Let's review those now. Let's have briefs. Let's have the lawyers, can imagine this, let's have the lawyers write lots and lots of paper about all these things. We'll read all those. We'll have our law clerk summarize those. We'll call you in. We'll have oral argument about all this. And yes, they're starting that once again. They've got about 34, 35 cases on their docket right now. The interesting thing about that, Jane and Greg, is that by now, usually they've got maybe about 40 or more, usually and then about 60. My guess is that they're waiting because many of these shadow docket opinions are now going to be coming back. Now that the lower courts have reduced them to judgment, it may well be, we don't know, we know some of them are already on the docket, but it may well be that they're anticipating now finally reviewing the substance of these as opposed to issuing these one-sentence orders and undermining it again the way we do it. But yes, indeed, they're back in business. It's everything. Yes, tariffs is on the schedule, right? And again, whether or not they should overturn the lower courts that have said, you can't do this, Mr. President, that'll be a fascinating one to see if John Roberts wants to once again amend the Constitution, Article 1, that says, who is responsible for tariffs?
Congress.
Let's all say it together. Congress. Right, exactly.
That's they're the ones who do this. That's their only job. It's the power
of
the purse.
That's their only job, right? Not to be outdone, it may be that that voting rights case from Louisiana, that one that's called Calais, remember that name, Calais? And this may be the one in which the Supreme Court is dabbling with the notion, hold on, of basically finding the Voting Rights Act unconstitutional in violation of the 14th Amendment. Not making that up. We hope, of course, hoping and praying they do not do that, but it's sort of on the docket again, voting rights, right? If you're not satisfied with that, you can find some solace, perhaps, or not solace in the fact that they're also looking at things like conversion therapy, roundly dismissed by every legitimate medical authority on the face of the planet. Can that be legislated away, that sort of thing? Also looking at, yes, transgender women in sports, transgender sports issues on the Supreme Court docket. Campaign finances there. There's a religious case involving a prisoner who had his dreadlocks cut by his jailers, and he's alleging that that's in violation of his religious rights under of a statute. Religion is back. So all kinds of things on the docket. And again, you even as I say them out loud, Jane, going back to your comments in the prior segment, you think about all these things. Yes, Supreme Court's got to resolve differences. Where is our Congress? Wouldn't you be a whole lot more satisfied if the representatives that they themselves are wrestling with these social issues? And again, 535 members of the people in our Congress, senators and House of Representatives members are wrestling with these things instead because of Congress's default and an overwrought president who does whatever he wants. Now, policy decisions being made in America by the United States Supreme Court. That was not the design. That was not it. We'll see how that plays out again in this coming term starting on Monday.
I'm surprised Clarence Thomas can pull himself away from all his free around the world trips on fancy yachts and stuff. He's got other priorities, Jim. This is really... It's going to cut into his vacation time.
It is annoying. And maybe he's reading Project 2025. We don't know. But we do know that he's also pontificating out there and saying things like, Jane, precedent. Huh? That's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe we should be rethinking that. This is the man who, again, in the last term also said, maybe we need to rethink the enforcement of Brown versus Board of Education. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, my
and
is
again,
right.
It is a lot. It is a lot, as you often say. And we'll see what the Supreme Court delivers to us. We'll talk about every one of those. And you can also hear them argue. You actually hear the Supreme Court justices talking with the attorneys. You can go online and hear Sonia Sotomayor spar with Amy Coney Barrett and that sort of thing. And then, of course, we'll anticipate opinions very, very soon.
Join Jim Santel every Saturday, 9 to 11. The show is called Amicus, A Law Review. It is fantastic. Please check it out and give him a follow. Jim Santel, thank you so much, my friend. We will see you next Thursday.
Always a pleasure, Jane and Greg. Take care.
We got news coming up next, and then we are going to talk T tariffs, and Wisconsin farmers. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in New Zealand if you have the app. We are the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Police in the UK have just labeled today's deadly attack outside an Orthodox synagogue in northern Manchester, England, a terrorist attack.
The attack in Manchester this morning is absolutely shocking.
Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Two people were killed. Three are critical after a suspect plowed a car into a crowd of people, then went on a stabbing spree. Police have confirmed officers shot and killed the suspect. CBS's Remy Innocencio from London.
He had been presumed dead, but there was this kind of overhanging security concern that suspicious items, that's what police call them, on him might have actually been explosive devices.
Police say two other people are under arrest now. This woman lives nearby.
We hear sirens every day because we're around the corner from the hospital. But then we heard it was gunshot and there'd been a terrorist attack in the synagogue.
The attack took place on Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.